Hi, my name is Matt. I'm an English teacher, and this is a recording of a free lesson that I did recently on whiziq.com. We're using material from the Talk A Lot free spoken English course, which is a free download from englishbanana.com/talkalot. If you'd like to attend the next online lesson, please visit www.whiziq.com/Matt Perland.
Any questions? Okay, so let's have a look at it then. First, we're going to look at our idioms for this lesson. Don't forget, you can download the worksheet here so you know what we're talking about. Yeah? You know what we're going on about. I'm going to just put it on the screen here. Read these idioms, look at the idioms here, and first of all, tell me any that you know, anything that you know these idioms. Type in the box if you know any of these idioms. I know all of them because they're all common in spoken English. Native speakers know these things. But do you know any of these idioms? Type in the box if you've got any familiar ones. We're trying to do this, the grey part, that is look for definitions, so replacing the five crosses. Yeah, that my fan is very noisy today. That's a good, very good point, Bridget. Everybody just will it to keep going for the next 50 minutes. Yeah. So, Jaber knows get in touch with somebody. What does it mean, Jaber? Type in the box. Get in touch. If I get in touch with you, what do? I don't touch you. I don't like that. What do? To get in touch with somebody, for example, by email, I contact somebody. Yeah. Okay, so we can do it like that and try and write down some of the definitions here. Take advantage of somebody, number six. What does it mean, Ken? Can you give me a definition to take advantage of somebody? Euro knows three of them. Think about definition. What does it mean, Euro or Ken, anybody, to take advantage? Or give an example, for example. Lots of people typing, but nothing coming up. Hello, Ashish. Thanks for joining us. It's a difficult one to say. If I take advantage of somebody, like use somebody, said Yura. Use somebody. For example, I maybe want to stay with somebody for the night, and I take advantage of somebody. But it's kind of a negative thing to do, as if somebody is rather weak or helpless, and you get something from them that you want. Maybe they're not strong enough to say no, to use somebody, yes. It's still rather idiomatic to use somebody, isn't it? But we can't literally, physically use somebody. But do something for our favor, in our favor, that maybe makes somebody else disadvantaged, in a way. Yeah. Okay. or to plot against somebody kind of saying, yeah, I get what I want from somebody by taking advantage of them. Or we could maybe take advantage of a situation. Yeah, something is in our favour and we use it for our benefit. Hello Nadia, how are you? Okay, what about any more? 17, somebody said. To take ages, what does it mean to take ages? Take ages. If I take ages, then what do I do? Take a long time. Yeah, good. You know, we could say that's idiomatic, to take a long time. How can time be literally long? But we mean like a period of time is long. So to take a long time, for example, it takes ages to connect to this lesson sometimes, yeah? To take ages. Not literally ages, as in hundreds of years. You know, we think about the Dark Ages, as in several hundred years. So it's an exaggeration. Yeah, to take ages. What about any more that you know in this group? Can you type in the box any that you know? So, some really good idioms here. So Jaber's got one, to wash your linen in public. Where was it? Which number? Number 5. So, to show your secrets in public, yeah. So who does that? What kind of person does that? To show things that you shouldn't show, maybe things which should remain secret. Maybe politicians do it. Famous people. Linen used to be like underwear. And you can imagine, if you wash your underwear in public, go to a public place and wash it, we shouldn't do it, yeah? It's something private, should be private. So we might see this in a tabloid newspaper, so we could say this is to do with journalism, this idiom. Mm-hmm. So if a woman is jealous, as Bridget's saying, then they might go to the press and we also talk about air your grievances in public. So talk about things, negative things about somebody to the media. Yeah, some weird people do this, as Nadia and Jaber saying we say it in Arabic. So good, let's see if there are any more idioms that we share in our languages. Mm-hmm. So we think about celebrities who maybe fall out, celebrity couples, they fall out and then one of them goes to the papers, airs their grievances or washes the dirty linen in public. Dreams, welcome to the class. You're welcome to join us. Thanks for coming today. Thanks for choosing this lesson. Okay, any more that we know about? Come on, let's look at this. What about number 8? To get square eyes. To get square eyes. Have you got square eyes? Do you spend all day staring at the screen like this? Do you have square eyes? No, says Nadia. Do you watch a lot of TV? Do you watch TV a lot? too much TV. So you know that the TV is it's not square because it's rectangular, but anyway, no, it means to watch too much TV. So your parents might say to you when you're a child, come on, switch off the TV, you'll get square eyes. I know my mum used to say it a lot. Yeah, we loved it. You'll get square eyes, switch it off, yeah. Also, it could apply to any kind of work with a screen. So to watch too much, Nadia, yeah, to watch too much. So this one is about TV. And it's connected with number three, to be glued to something. If I'm glued to a program, I'm watching it very intently. I watch it like I'm glued to it. I can't stop watching it. You know what glue means, right? You know what glue is. Yeah. We make it from horses. Yeah, well, we used to. No, Nadia's saying that, but maybe it's an urban myth. Hello, Jaspreet. It's nice to see you. So, if I'm glued to something, I'm watching, like in a few minutes ago, I was watching The Simpsons. It's one of my favorite programs. And all around me there was noise and people doing things, but I was glued to it. I couldn't stop watching it. Yeah, I was absolutely glued. Nadia, are you kidding? No, I'm not kidding. It's really, I love it. I love it. Almost as much as I love phrasal verbs. Yeah. So Jabez got 11. To put the cat among the pigeons. Jabez saying to trust the enemy. No, I see what you mean. I see what you mean, Jabez, but it's not right. It's not quite this, but I see why you could say that. Now, I won't get square eyes, Bridget, because I don't watch a lot of TV. What does it mean to put the cat among the pigeons? Think about a group of pigeons. I mean, they're a dirty bird, aren't they, live in the street, pigeons. What will happen if you put a cat among the pigeons? Really, what will happen? Think about it. What will panic, says Ken. Yes. So the birds will fly flap out. Yeah, they will fly away. So if you put the cat among the pigeons as an idiomatically, then you create a big panic or a big surprise. Yeah, you do something. Maybe, like, we also talk about dropping a bombshell. So maybe you make a big announcement. So Nadia's saying you might be a troublemaker. Yeah, you do something that causes big trouble, big surprise, big problems. Yeah, I'm going to cause trouble here. But imagine, you can see the origin of this idiom, because you can imagine it, what would happen. Yeah, if you put a cat among some pigeons. So it's rather literal picture. Okay. Don't forget you can get this worksheet here if you want to fill it in as we're going. Good. Any more then? What about number two? I think you might know this. To have something on in the background. What does it mean to have something on in the background? What is background? For a start. No, not skeleton in your cupboard. In the background. For example, in the background now, I can hear the fan from my computer. I think you can hear it as well. I know Bridget can hear it. In the background, what is behind me? What's going on around me that I can't, that I don't focus on because I focus on this? Yeah? So, something on in the background, it's maybe something that you hear, and it could be either TV or radio. It's quite more of a literal idiom, if we can have that such a thing. So if I have the radio on in the background, the radio is playing, right? I'm not really listening to it. It's on in the background. Yeah. So in a picture, yeah, the mountains might be in the background. They're not the main thing in the picture. So often we have the TV or radio on in the background. We hear it, but we don't listen to it. Yeah? Now I've got the noise from this fan. I can hear it, but I'm not sitting listening to it. I'm focused on this lesson, of course. So we talk about background music, so that's Nadia's thing. Good. Here it's something we can't help it. It's involuntary. But to listen, it's something active. We're doing it. Hopefully you're listening to this lesson. It's not just on in the background. Yeah. But, you know, it's up to you. I've been to some lessons, and I haven't been listening all the time. Sometimes it was just on in the background. Oh, Jabez done it as well. Like music in the movies, yeah, background music we talk about. Okay. So, something on in the background, for example, radio or TV or telly. Yeah, radio or telly. So this could be either radio or television. Okay. What else? What else is interesting to you here? Type in the box if you want to look at any of these. All to do with media, so to do with either radio, television, journalism or new media. Economical with the truth. So number seven, what does it mean, economical? So, okay, it's connected with lying, but if I'm economical, I'm having trouble spelling it, then I use just enough, for example, of something. If I'm economical with flour when I'm making a cake, I use just enough flour. So to be economical with the truth is to use just tell the truth, but don't say anything more than you have to. So it's not lying, but it's maybe lying by omission, by not saying something. For example, I don't tell the whole truth. Politicians are very good at this. They say just enough so that it isn't a lie, but they don't say perhaps everything they should say. Maybe in an interview. Yeah. Number seven. So maybe not tell the whole truth. Not be open. Not be frank. Yeah, so Jaber said that. Good. Not be as frank as we could be. Okay, 18. Oh, this is a good one. Bridget's got it. What does it mean? I'd love to be a fly on the wall. What does a fly on the wall do? What advantage has a fly got over me? You know, I've got a few advantages over the fly. I know I have. But what advantage has the fly got? Of course. Fly can fly, yes, thanks Ken. It's almost like a haiku. Hello, Afaf. A fly can go anywhere, right? So a fly can be in a situation where a person couldn't be. I won't run up to the ceiling. No, I can't do that. But a fly can. So, for example, it's an advantage if you want to listen in on a conversation. You know, maybe your friends had a big argument and they're going to sort it out, and you say, gosh, I'd love to be a fly on the wall in that situation. I'd love to hear hear without being seen, for example. Yeah, or to see. I'd love to be able to be nosy. To be nosy. So to go somewhere, to be somewhere where you shouldn't be, but to be unseen, almost to be like being invisible. I'm going to put like that, like a spy. Yes. I'd love to be a fly on the wall. And we talk about a type of documentary, fly on the wall documentary. This is something like Big Brother, where there are just cameras everywhere and we can watch people behave naturally, or as naturally as they can. Yeah. Or, you know, when they follow somebody around for 2 weeks and film everything. A fly on the wall documentary. It's a genre of documentary, a genre of TV. You know, Nadia, I haven't time to watch Big Brother now, but I have in the past. I watched a couple of times. Couple of seasons, and you can easy to get hooked on it, yeah, or addicted. But now I haven't got time, so I prefer to curl up with a good book. Yes. Okay. Hello, Radhika. I'm sorry you've got the problem today. Maybe you contact them at WizIQ. Okay, what's next? I want to... Well, Nadia's asked about number 19. To scrape... Well, some of these are pictures, aren't they? And so we can look at them literally. What is a barrel, for example? What is a barrel? We used to have them connected with beer, for example. So big wooden container, e.g. for beer, for oil. Oh, barrel of oil, of course. But more in the olden days, it was to do with container for, like a wooden container. Big round wooden container. So if you scrape the bottom, it means almost everything has come out of the barrel. So you're trying to get the last bit out of the barrel, okay? So you're trying to get the last bit of meat or cheese or whatever was in the barrel, beer, yeah? And so if we scrape the bottom of the barrel, that we really do something which is, gosh, how can I explain it? Trying to get the last piece of something. For example, let's think of a TV series. Maybe it's successful for one season. Maybe it's successful for two or for three seasons. But then the producers keep going back to the same characters, the same formula, over and over until everybody's bored. Yeah, sequels, for example, in films. And so we can say we're scraping the bottom of the barrel. We're going back to something which is not fresh and trying to make it, you know, maybe we can, yeah, Radhika saying, Indian soaps, yeah. My example is Shrek 4, you know, everybody loved Shrek, the movie, maybe Shrek 2, but 3? 4? How many more? Yeah. So Radhika is saying a person has rebirthed about 10 times in Indian soap. You know, let's think about any film that has more than three parts. The fourth one is usually just for the money. It's scraping the bottom of the barrel. Matrix is an example. I said Lethal Weapon 4. What, Die Hard 4? Has there been Rambo, what, 6? So this is any kind of media, any kind of idea that is, we could say, is past its sell-by date. That's another good way to look at it. Not fresh. Okay, I'm going to put that here, not fresh. Terminator, yeah, they keep making these films because it makes money, but scraping the bottom of the barrel, you can say. It's really good, lively idiom to use. Yeah, but if you still love it, okay. But it's when we keep going back to the same stale, something is stale, the same kind of things all the time. Number 20 to Bridget. This is my favourite idiom here. I think Bridget can guess which idioms I like best. this is my favourite one. Oh, and Yura's got it. You're absolutely right. So, if something is about as much use as a chocolate teapot, it's useless. So it hasn't any use. Yeah, can you imagine a chocolate teapot? Why is it useless? Why is it useless? Oh, because it melts. The heat will melt it. Okay. Good. And you end up with nothing, but you have a nice chocolatey mess that you can eat. So it's not quite nothing, Radhika. Let's be positive about it. You can still eat the remains of the. Nice. Okay, let's not get hungry now. Wait till the end of the lesson, okay? What about any more from here, quickly? How can we relate number 20 to media? Which part is it? Is it radio, television, journalism, or new media? What is the relevance of this, number 20? What do you think? Can we make any connection? Let's be creative. We talked about these things last week, the 40 discussion words. Communication, maybe. So if something doesn't work, maybe we looked at new media and devices, all kinds of modern devices. Maybe something like that is not suitable. You know, I'm not going to say the iPhone. I didn't say that, but doesn't work. Does it work? Does it work, or is it something you would say, it's about as much use as a chocolate teapot? Maybe it does work for you, but for some people it doesn't work, right? Any kind of device that is not really suitable, something we say not fit for purpose, not suitable, not useful. Okay. Well, I would say, Nadia, for example, if I've got this kind of phone and it doesn't work, when I pick it up, it doesn't have a signal, I would say, gosh, that's about as much use as a chocolate teapot, really. Useless, waste of time. Okay, let's go to number 12 then. In somebody's pocket. To be in somebody's pocket. So imagine a person. You know what a pocket is, right? Imagine if you had somebody in the pocket, like a little person, little tiny. Yeah, somebody completely controlling somebody else. Yeah, so what sentence could we have? Come on then, what sentence could we have? You know, he's you know, maybe it's somebody like a boss, and another one of your colleagues is spending a lot of time with the boss, but I've made a mistake, because pocket should be Yeah, under her heel. But we have another one, another idiom called under the thumb, to do with domestic power. So the husband is completely under her thumb, for example, under the thumb. The manager's in his pocket, exactly. So maybe a politician is in a politician is in the pocket of somebody like a newspaper mogul, a newspaper boss, yeah? We could say the Prime Minister's in the pocket of somebody. So Bridget's got it in French. It's okay. At 100, I don't get it. 100%. Yeah, somebody who has power maybe has somebody, we can say someone's in their pocket. Yeah. So this is maybe to do with media moguls or magnates. Yeah, okay. Good. We've got it. Anything else here? Akil is asking. Number 10. Oh, this is a wonderful idiom. To go from the sublime to the ridiculous. Yeah. So this is going from the sublime, so from something very, very good, to something very, very stupid. Yeah. If you go to a concert, for example, and there are different performers, and one of them is playing a beautiful piece of music, and then the next person plays just something stupid, something silly, then it's like going from the sublime to the ridiculous. Yeah. We could use it to talk about, for example, music. If you follow the charts, you know, the top 40 in English music, it's a real mix of music, and sometimes you go from very good song to a very bad song, so from the sublime to the ridiculous. Ridiculous means just stupid, crazy even. Yeah. Anything where you have this contrast. So one moment something is very, very beautiful, something nice, and the next it's really ugly or really stupid. In a shop, you know, maybe you're having a beautiful walk by the sea, and then something really strange happens or silly happens. And so, from the sublime to the ridiculous. It's like a contrast. Contrast. Maybe it's a TV show, you're watching a really good TV show, and then the next program is something really bad, really awful. Okay. Good. So, how are we doing now? Not bad. Not too bad here. Just a few more. Just typing quickly. I don't know if we can get to all of these. But we'll try. So, the best thing since sliced bread. What do you think? What is sliced bread? Do you have sliced bread? Or do you have just a loaf of bread? So it's sliced. Mm-hmm. Oh, Jaber's saying about the other idiom, when you exchange a brand new car with a very old one. Yeah, so you're going from the sublime to the ridiculous, something really good, something really bad. I think it was 1930s in Britain when we started to have sliced bread. Okay. And it was so amazing, it gave rise to this idiom. So people found it so incredible that they could have a slice of bread and not have to cut it, that this idiom was created. So for something something new, for example, we can measure it against sliced bread. This is the best thing since sliced bread, you know. This new type of phone, for example, is the best thing since sliced bread. So sliced bread is the yardstick by which we measure everything, all achievements. Yeah. Not really cutting edge, Euro, but whenever something new comes along which is really popular, we measure it against this achievement of sliced bread. So we say, gosh, this new car is the best thing since sliced bread. Oh, so we can say the iPhone is the best thing since sliced bread. Yeah, it's very, very good. It's something very, very good. Especially technology, you know, this new computer or this new service. Yeah. That's right. And it's very, very common idiom in English. Okay, let's keep going quickly. Try and get as much as we can. Don't forget you can download this whole thing and fill it in. If you're watching this in the future, then welcome. If you're watching it in the past, wow, well, that, please tell me how you did that. Okay, so let's go to number four. You can't win them all. You can't win them all. What does it mean, do you think? You can't win them all. It's a British idiom, yes, it is an idiom. Something is impossible, yeah, it's impossible. You can't have everything, says Navi. Yeah, it's close. What sort of situation would you say that in? If I come home from the job interview and I say, you know, I didn't get it, sorry, I didn't get it. My wife maybe will say, well, never mind, you can't win them all. You can't achieve them all, says Jabba. You can't achieve everything. You can't always succeed. Yeah. And M just mean it's just contraction for them. Like, you can't win all of life's battles. Yeah? You can't. Not possible. So we have another similar one, which is you win some, you lose some. You win some, you lose some. Sometimes you are successful, sometimes not really. Hi Nisaro, welcome. Welcome, thanks for joining us. Okay, let's keep going. We're nearly there. Just a four more, I think. So let's go quickly and try and do this. Yeah, you can't win them all. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, yeah. Yeah, about the elections, of course, if you failed, it's used for consolation. To say, well, never mind. You know, I can extend it for a few minutes, maybe 5 minutes, but let's try and do this now. 14. Drive somebody up the wall. Make somebody angry. my sister has been driving me up the wall today. She never stopped complaining, driving like in a car, driving not down the road but up the wall. Made me really angry, made me really mad, yeah. For example. Okay. So these are idioms that you can look out for, you can try and find and use them again. We're only just touching the surface in this lesson, what we could do really. So, okay, let's get to the heart of the matter, number 16. Let's get to the heart of the matter. Let's talk about what is really important. Yeah, let's talk about the most important thing. You know, Akhil's saying he's driving me up the wall. Yeah, he's really making me annoyed, across. Yeah, drive somebody crazy. Drive them, like force them to be crazy. Yeah. But we could have a nice picture. You could draw a picture of somebody in a car driving you up the wall, and that would help you to remember this idiom. Yeah. So it's not really to drive by car, I think we have to say that, to force somebody to drive, you know, imagine driving cattle. We're not driving them in a car, are you? I've never done that. Yeah. Okay, what's next? Quickly. 13. Break new ground. So sometimes a TV program or a drama will break new ground, will be highly original. Imagine when you're farming in a field and you reach some land or ground that you haven't touched before, and so you break it, you break new ground, do something original. Yeah, Akhil saying search something new. Yeah, search for. Okay, so let's check this. I think it's just one more. Yes. Good, Euros is keeping score here. So to be all the rage. This could be in a lesson about clothes, for example, anything to do with fashion. To be in fashion, to be all the rage. So maybe a kind of music is all the rage, or a kind of program, TV show. You know, at the in the past, reality TV shows were all the rage, but now it's more like talent shows. But I think they're getting less popular. So what is all the rage? What's fashionable? Yeah, to be in fashion, to be fashionable. Good, Nadia. So Nadia's saying it's everything, almost everything new. But wonderful. But these are very, very common idioms. Yeah. And we can use in other situations, not just to do with media. So something is all the rage, Akhil. It's very positive. It's, you know, something is really fashionable. It's really good. Yeah. Okay. So my advice to you, try to learn some of these idioms. Use in your writing, in your written work. Say them with your friends or with your teacher. Practice them. Try to learn them. Maybe draw a picture. Think about number 18, be a fly on the wall. You could draw a picture of yourself as a fly watching or listening in to somebody's conversation. Yeah, somebody's conversation. or to be in somebody's pocket. These are highly visual things. Highly visual. It's much better for me to say that, oh, she was driving me up the wall. It's much stronger, yeah, than just to say, oh, she made me angry. Nadia's saying, I wish I could work on them more. Follow-up class. I don't know if we'll have time, but I will think, you know, consider it. Next week we're going, on Friday we're going to look at slang words and phrases. So really we've got a lot to do here. I would love to spend all day on the idioms, but it's something to take away with you, Nadia. Take away and study and practice. It's an introduction really, this lesson. You can download this worksheet here or watch the lesson back. Yeah, work with our Bridget. Yeah, exactly. Watch this lesson back and you can check the definitions. Thanks, Akil. Friday we're going to go to slang words and phrases.
Thanks for joining us today. To download more free lessons and all of the Talkalot materials absolutely free of charge, please visit englishbanana.com/talkalot.